to the Ground is KUNM's weekly showcase of local music from Albuquerque to Madrid, from Santa Fe to Taos. So our featured guest will be the return of Las Vegas' own Jim Tur, the songwriter, satirist, filmmaker, etc., etc. Jim Tur has a brand new serious album out, largely serious. It's called Your Father's Country Music. We'll hear a little bit from the album, but we'll mostly be talking to Jim Tur about songwriting and moving songs, not just as the performer, the guy on the bandstand, but getting the songs you write into the hands of the people who might take them to the next level, national radio and the like. Tur has had some success in that regard, and he'll tell us about his latest salvo, back to Nashville, I guess we'd say, since that's the heart of country music, at least if you're a writer of same. So Jim Tur coming up in about 20 minutes time, and we're about to turn the corner and go to our special segment with Jim Tur. The subject, we're going to be hearing from Jim Tur's new album, Your Father's Country Music, and the interview largely about this aspect of Tur's songwriting life. You'll hear more about that in a little bit, but he talks about in the interview some of the classic songwriters of perhaps an earlier age, maybe even a little more recent.
I was going to say about this particular album and this particular batch of songs, I'd say about 7 of these 11 songs on this album were written in the past couple months. And there are some people who believe in me, who have invested in me over the years, and who each invested in this, and you know, a piece of the publishing of these songs, understanding what the game is and what the odds are or not. And so it allowed me to buy the time to sit down and write and record these songs. And that's how a lot of these songs and albums will come about. And it's like, I always say I'm going to be the oldest late blooming success in the world, and I got zillions of what I think are good songs if I ever catch on, you know. So that's how this particular bunch of songs, most of the first 7 or 8 songs on this.
So this is, you know, a different model than Kickstarter, which is, I'm going to pay for your album, Jim. I'm going to pay for your album now, and then you're going to go off and make it, and a year from now, I get it for free. This is more like I'm going to invest in your writing.
Yeah, it's not a Kickstarter model. I've never had any success with that. I know a lot of people have. I haven't sold a lot of albums, but it's about the songwriting, not the performance for me.
Well, we're going to now go into some of that very songwriting, but now we're going to go into that last voice you heard, Jim Tur, and the theme of this new album from him, title track to Your Father's Country Music.
Ain't your father's Buick, like that is something good. Well, Daddy's Buick got us there and back, just like it should. And may have had no airbags, no way to get online, but it started and stopped when 100 tops, which I tried a couple times. And the radio played country songs about heartbreak, jail, and ruin, about fascinating losers with no idea what they're doing. Now all you hear is about special gals who set your jeans on fire, and the truck you'd like to ride them in. Well, that's not what I require. This is your father's country music. It's coming back around with tales of total sorrow and that lonesome fiddle sound. It takes you back to hearing Daddy hum along in that Buick. It's raw and sweet, your father's country music. All right. There used to to be some humor, too, before things got so slick. It took me back to hear that song about checking some girl for ticks. Jones and Hack covered all of life, along with old Tom T. Now the range of topics goes from A to somewhere around B. So here's your father's country music. It's coming back for sure. About longing and temptation, for which there is no cure. About getting so damn mad that all you have, you just might lose it. On the wings of a dove and all that country music. Don't ever put down your daddy's cool old Buick. You know you love that car and your father's country music.
End of a year, especially an election year, especially a year like 2016, and we have a chance to talk to Jim Tur. I figure he'd be coming down from Las Vegas with political satire in the Blue Canyon mode. And that's only part of what you're bringing us. You're bringing us actually a much, much broader focus of work, I would say.
You mean in general?
In general, but right now.
Oh, yeah, no satire today. I don't want to think about that subject.
You are a videographer. You're a writer. You have been an actor. You have been, as a songwriter, you have occupied different personas. You've done political songs. You've done, I hate to call them straight songs, but you have also had an ongoing, and I think this goes back maybe to your beginnings as a musician, a love affair with country western songs.
Yeah. I was not raised on country. Well, back when I was a kid, I don't know that they had many specifically country stations. I lived in small towns where they played a little of everything. So I heard some old country without really being aware of it. And then I got into rock as a teenager, of course, and then it was after college that I lived with a dear old friend of mine and his wife, Danny Brumbelow, and he reacquainted me with country music, which at that point was like George Jones and stuff like that, and I really got very hooked on it.
So when you were listening, because this is important in terms of how one enters into a new musical form, George Jones wasn't oldies. George Jones was at his peak.
Right, correct.
Right, okay, so.
So those are the golden days of country as far as in my mind. So I've always tended toward that in writing. I've written a lot of kind of rock and oldies stuff, but mostly country. And my angle is not, I have a very specific goal that I don't think everybody does, and that is the commercial country songwriting. I'm trying to write songs that somebody else can cut, because I know a lot of people who make a fantastic living at that. So I've been banging away at it for many years. So that's what these songs are, which is not to say a lot of them don't express something personal and meaningful to me, but I'm trying to write things that somebody else could cut.
Right. And you're trying to, because you're looking at, you're not living in Nashville, but Nashville is still sort of the engine and has been.
Yeah.
The last time you were here to talk about country music and your own works, you actually made a point that I think is reiterated in the title of this new record of yours, which is Your Father's Country Music. And you talked about, there may be four types of songs that are sort of boilerplate songs that come out of, come out of Nashville. And how frustrating that is to watch and to know, because you have a knowledge that predates a lot of this stuff.
Well, I'm an old codger in this respect, but a lot of us are. You know, it was better in the old days and all that. And now it's vanilla. I mean, that may be just an attitude among some of us, but it's also very real. A lot of people are very pissed about it.
Mm-hmm.
And even a lot of people have gone public with that, like Vince Gill and kind of semi-mainstream country songwriters of old. And like I say in this song, the title song, it used to be more about some very raw emotions and real losers, and not the stereotypes of prison and everything, but a lot of very gritty stuff. And now it seems to be, to the extent that I listen to new country, it's a lot about a hot girl and the pickup truck and the pickup truck and the pickup truck. There's just like more about pickup trucks than you could ever. And in fact, one of my songs here is about a pickup truck, so I shouldn't say. But I don't know. It just seems kind of boring these days.
Do you get the sense that these people are actually running around in pickup trucks, or is this just like, okay, I got to put a pickup truck song, and I got to put an America song, and I got
to
put...
Well, I mean, it may be to appeal to the... Maybe the audience typically does drive pickups, young guys or whatever the audience is. But my point is, and my hope is, that every now and then there's a revival. Like, if you think about it, when Randy Travis came along with his very simple, on one level, very simple country songs, things had gotten a little away from that. But, you know, it's every now and then it comes back with a very traditional sound. And even if I end up appealing only to old codgers, that's fine. I'd just like to make a living at this finally someday.
Well, how does one make a living at this? And I'm asking this on behalf of... a lot of the people who come on this show,
yeah,
who are dynamite songwriters, mm-hmm, and you know, can perform their songs and can put, mm-hmm, their records out, but boy, another income stream would make it all easier.
Well, I can't speak to making a living as a performer. I think I may be past that, except I'm trying to work some of this music into a couple movies I'm doing, including one feature length. But anyway, the songwriting game is that... most of the songs you hear, say on country or in any format, rock, I guess, are not written by the artist. They're written by somebody else. And they get paid a royalty. They or their publisher gets paid a very good royalty for each play on the radio and each CD sold. And so a good country song, a good country hit cut by a good country artist could make the writer, like me, for instance, $1 million or so. I mean, mm-hmm, I know several people who have hit it like that, you know. So they have to pay for a good song, and they're looking for good songs.
How do you get into the pipeline?
Well, you live in Nashville and you hang out, which I haven't done, and that's why it's tough for me. That's why I try to get him in too. But I have some fans there and some people who give me good blurbs, and one of them's Tom T. Hall, who you're probably aware of, one of my favorite songwriters, and used to be a very successful recording artist, and he likes my stuff apparently and has given me some nice blurbs. And a guy I've gotten to know and interview is a guy who I really idolize named Bobby Braddock. Bobby Braddock wrote a lot of the George and Tammy hits and the greatest, so-called greatest country song of all time, He Stopped Loving Her Today. And
did he write You're the Reason Our Kids Are Ugly? Is that?
No, I don't think so.
I love that one.
No, I got to know him because I realized that so many of my favorite songs were written by this one guy, and he appreciated my letting him know that. And I finally got to meet him and interview him in Nashville last year. But he's the only guy, the only songwriter that we know of who's had number one hits for 5 decades. In every one of the past 5 decades. So he's not slowing down at all. It's amazing.
What was the last one that he made?
He had the one about Let's Talk About Me. Remember that one? Very funny.
Mm-hmm.
It was only a couple of years ago. Cleverer than anything I could ever come up with. And he's like, you know, he's got to be at least 75 or so now.
So what happens with the recording? You've put this album together, and this, mm-hmm, album will have, you know, it will play it. It will have a life, but the life you want it to have is not necessarily with your performance on the air. It's going,
no, no.
It's going to these other people.
Yeah, so I have to look for ways to get that to people who are fans or people I know in Nashville. And I actually intend to go to Nashville and do a movie, even if it's kind of a spoof about the old songwriter from the country trying to get in to see the music publishers. And I'll see if anybody goes for it. And if so, that's another way to publicize, uh-huh, the music.
Oh yeah. Well, I went
Went deep in the end zone just to please the cheering crowd. Went deep a couple other times, I cannot say out loud. I went deep into my psyche in the psychiatrist's chair. We both were disappointed to find there was nothing there. I went deep into the jungle to help educate and feed. Went deep into my pockets helping homeless folks in need. Now I'm going deep just where it counts, cause I can finally see. I'm going deep for Jesus, cause he went so deep for me.
Yes, here I go.
I'm going deep down to the bottom of my soul. So deep that I can't see the bottom of this hole. But there's treasure at the bottom only desperate souls can see. I'm going deep for Jesus, cause he went so deep for me.
Sing ye ba da bum bum bum.
Our Savior went into a pit of deep and dark despair. That dreadful day on Calvary hanging up there in the air. So I'll just let others sing the high and sweet notes of this song. I'm on the bottom, keeping the foundation firm and strong. I'm going deep down to the bottom of my soul. So deep that I can't see the bottom of this hole. But there's treasure at the bottom, oh so sweet and heavenly. I'm going deep for Jesus, cause he went deep for me. Yes, I'm going deep for Jesus, cause he went so deep for me.
So does the verbal play that's always been sort of part of country music draw you towards the form?
Oh, totally. Some people complain about country who have never listened to it. And I'm not talking about the real modern stuff, but if you go back about 10 or 20 years and so on, there's some of the most clever lines and rhymes and interesting stories and everything in country music that you could imagine. In fact, this guy Bobby Braddock is the master of that. I'll tell you another song he wrote, Something to Brag About, that George and Tammy did, and Willie Nelson did it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, these songs are hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. And also, some of them are amazingly flexible. I have this theory that when Willie Nelson wrote Crazy, he gave it to a country star. But if he'd given it to Dinah Washington, she'd have nailed it, and it would be considered a jazz standard today.
Right. And then, of course, Ray Charles did a lot of country, and Chuck Berry was raised on country, by the way.
Right. and that's partly where some of the Maybelline, I think Maybelline has roots in a kind of country swing.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, but you're getting in some interesting messages. I mean, you're looking for a kind of subversion of the natural order of Nashville.
Well, this one song, the first song, the title song, is kind of a commentary song, kind of a complaint about, new country versus the old country. The rest of them are in the tradition of various country songs I like, and some of them are a little flipped out, like Lord Be My Airbag, and another gospel-type song I have on this album is Going Deep for Jesus. And I love gospel music, and I love bluegrass gospel, and I could listen to that all day. So just very natural with that.
Yeah. Now, Penny Spring, how far back in this musical form did you go? Did Jim have to, like, educate you in country style and the like?
He has to some extent. I didn't really listen to country that much when I was growing up. I'm a little younger and from a more urban environment. I heard some country music, of course. You know, I think of like Merle Haggard, and I think of Willie Nelson and Jerry Jeff Walker, and you know, sort of that Steve Goodman, that kind of thing. But I never really listened to the old country that much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the truth is, Penny is very got an almost encyclopedic musical memory in just about any song that I come up with in any genre. She's heard it and can sing it and with the right timing. So she's kind of unusual that way, but I don't know if she, I'd say half the country songs I mentioned, she's familiar with them, but
How does the video side of all of this fit in? I mean, you've been a video maker and filmmaker on many different projects, some of them documentaries, some of them inventions, satire, and all of that. But I know for some artists right now, they feel like they need that video to be going out there because they need to keep stuff in the pipeline.
Right. Well, I'm not an existing successful artist who's trying to support my career with videos. I'm trying to get attention with videos and or get a laugh or whatever. And making videos is like breathing for me. I've got over 1,000 on YouTube, let alone Facebook, and over 1.5 million views. So I just crank out videos like nothing. And if I have a song that I like, how am I going to get anybody to hear it except as a video, you know, mm-hmm. Especially on Facebook. It's a good medium. I got 140,000 views on one song, which I forgot to put on here. I think I'm going to put it on a song about Jimmy Carter, a little appreciation of Jimmy Carter. So the CD is not finalized yet. I just realized this morning, oh, wait a minute, I forgot to put my most played song on here. Got a kind of a country feel.
So when it comes to, I'm really interested in some of the mechanics of this. So you make the video, and I'm assuming at this point that you have people who are checking in with you through Facebook or through JimTurr.com, Blue Canyon Satire, people who know you. So you put it up there. Do you need to give it any more push after that, or will they just take it and start to sort of spread it?
Well, it goes according to how appealing it is. But I'm very active on Facebook. I see a lot of people's stuff, and a lot of people see my stuff. And if I put on a song that really appeals or is extra funny or extra good or something, I can sometimes get, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 views on Facebook, or 140,000 in the case of that Jimmy Carter song, which is a sweet little song. But that's just it. I have no great way to push it. I don't pay for advertising on Facebook. Just I let things go if they're appealing.
Come on.
And a big old stump from the tree where you and me underneath first met. But don't let me get sentimental, not just yet. The bumper stickers will probably come off soon, since you and I sing a slightly different tune. You always thought that my opinions suck, but we both agreed that it's been a hell of a truck. Some things change and some things stay the same. It's hard to say exactly who's to blame. You get the house, the cash, and both computers, but I see a big white pickup in my future. Get all the kids out to the rodeo. Horse trailer in the back, man, it still could go. That backseat big enough for, well, we had fun. But I guess those days of silliness are done. The house is nearly empty of my stuff. I'm acting casual, but you know it's tough. You even got my grandpa's old six shooter, but I got a big white pickup in my future. Yeah, all that I've got left is a couple stacks.
Speaking of orchestrating, you asked how I put these together. I spent many years in Santa Fe in the studio of a guy named Rick Mena, who's a good, had a good little studio and is a good guitar player, and we used to program these things bit by bit, and he'd play great guitar, which, by the way, I cut in. This first song has some great playing by some great musicians, including Alan Hand, who used to live in Santa Fe and play with Van Morrison and stuff. But the rest of this is done on computer very simply. I have a songwriting program. You pick a style. You pick a tempo, you lay out the chords, and you get a kind of an approximation of a country background, or whatever it is, country or rock, and then I record it. And I do this on a video program, by the way, because I always end up adding video. And that's a great asset. I mean, I couldn't afford to do these things anymore if it weren't for the computer program that I have.
So you don't have to think in terms of the people who are going to be listening to this sort of on the inside of the industry. You don't have to make it sound like something that's on the radio now. They have education enough to hear the song as song.
Yes, they're on one level, they're demo quality. I still try to make them as good as I can, of course. And I think that most listeners, if they enjoy the songwriting, are not going to be put off by the lack of, you know, hot musicians throwing in licks.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think it's good enough quality that it can be enjoyed on the, enjoyed for what it is. Simple country song, simply orchestrated. So I set up the track. I create the track. I'm sitting there at my computer. I put earphones on so that I can hear what's going on, but it's not coming through the mic. I record mostly through a video camera that has a good mic and compresses the sound a little bit. And then I go back and take a second run and do a harmony. I mean, this is not to make it sound quick. It's kind of laborious for me, at least the harmonies and so on. But I'd say I get one of these songs done in about 4 hours. The writing part is fairly, I'm a pretty quick writer. I don't spend years writing a song, but the songs take about 4 hours on average, I would say, to record. I hope they're clear. I hope they sound good.
How prolific are you in this? I mean, I can think of some songwriters, especially these days, who are almost 3 songs a week or try to challenge themselves to a song.
Oh, he's very prolific. He's always writing songs, and I'll say something or he'll hear something and he'll say, oh, and then he'll have to write it down, and then he'll write something else, and it'll turn into a song. It kind of comes together sometimes at odd times.
Such as?
In the middle of the night. He'll be up writing a song.
Well, I see one here. Bring that bottle over here.
That's what I was thinking.
Penny said something about bring that bottle over here, and I either misunderstood her or just went somewhere else and took it as a medicine bottle. We're all on Prozac, et cetera, now, so bring that bottle over here. So that's a cute idea, I think.
Prozac is our cognac, I believe.
Though I've not paid attention, I hope you'll be there for me. When my truck, sedan, or minivan does slam into that tree, I know you know how weak I am, how prone to break and bleed. I hope you'll save my fragile soul when it comes my time of need. And Lord, be my airbag when I crash into that wall, when the vehicle I'm driving comes to a sudden crawl. Surround me with your billows, wrap me in your arms, let those plastic pillows protect me from all harm. Oh, yeah. In case of sudden impact, I hope that solenoid will activate and motivate these airbags to deploy. I've tried to learn to be strong, to have an iron will, but I know that I would not survive a ton of flying steel. So Lord, be my airbag when I crash into that wall, when the vehicle I'm driving comes to a sudden crawl. Surround me with your billows, wrap me in your arms, let those plastic pillows protect me from all harm. If there have been some warning lights, I hope they don't mean much. I've been a bit preoccupied with life on Earth and such. I hope I haven't missed a sign that you won't be there for me, 'cause Mama swore on her mama's name that you would always be So if I get a blowout going 85 or so, and I'm heading for that scenic cliff and the canyon floor below, when I crash through that guardrail before I sail into the air, I hope like hell it rings your bell and it reminds you that I'm there. Yeah, Lord, be my airbag when I crash into that wall, when the vehicle I'm driving comes to a sudden crawl. Surround me with your billows, wrap me in your arms. Let those plastic pillows protect me from all harm. Yeah, let those fantastic pillows protect me from all harm.
That is Jim Turr, the new album. You can find it, Jim Turr, T-E-R-R.com, Your Father's Country Music. We heard Jim Turr along with his partner, Penny Spring, in the interview. Jim also wants to let you know that he will be part of a songwriting workshop with Kevin Zernick coming in October at the Meadow City Music Festival. I know it's a long way off, but what would be better than to plan for 2017? Well, plan for this coming up almost immediately, Route 66.
This is 89.9 KUNM and KUNM HD, Albuquerque, Santa Fe, broadcasting from the University of New Mexico.